Satsang with Maitreya, December 15, 2001.
Good morning. Welcome to the mission of Maitreya, the channel of Bhagavan Path. This is Maitreya, the first one that had a satsang. And satsang means good company. When people come to talk about God and higher consciousness and greater things than the mundane thing. And in this case, of course, we're going to talk about the mission of Maitreya, eternal divine path. Mission of Maitreya is the fulfillment of the prophecy that the teaching will come that will unify humanity and all religions together. And it will come at the time that humanity will be in a dire need of the help to unify and realize that there is only one God, one humanity, and one earth. And we represent that energy, and the explanation is that each religion which has come to this point are a part of a greater truth, and when you put all of them together, you will see the whole picture and the whole truth of the eternal divine path, and that is what that path is called. And it has 5 steps with 2 results, therefore the 7 seals in the path, and it shows that each religion has one of the seals, one of each great religions of the world, and when you put them together, you see that it is God has been trying to reveal a path to humanity through these seals. So we're going to explain the seals today, every Saturday. The 7 seals and the eternal divine path will be explained to everyone in the room, and those who have heard it maybe see it different ways, because each time it's explained, it will be explained differently. And those who are new, of course, will be here for the first time and hopefully understand what is being said, and they see the truth behind it and say, yes, that makes a lot of sense. Of course, our claim is not based on empty claims. The prophecies are being fulfilled, and it's been foretold that there is going to be a 7 seals, and the book with the 7 seals will be opened at the end time. And if you have even a slight sense, you will see that it is the time of the upheaval and destruction and separation and hateful, you know, reference to each other. Humans are becoming to the point that they, you know, absolutely, you know, manifesting amazing hatefulness against each other instead of, you know, respecting one another and realizing that the essence of God is in every human beings, and everybody and everything that God created is a part of Him. You cannot separate them. You have to realize that God is everything, and if you realize that, therefore, you cannot be hateful of anyone, you cannot hate the person, and might hate some of their actions, but still the essence is in them, and they can realize God. And of course, humanity has a lot to learn, and a lot to unlearn, because every person has their own ideas, their own understanding, they have realized, and eventually have come to some conclusion, this is the way God wants him to be. And usually that is not the way God wants them to be, but that's their own understanding. Actually, God said, he will be a mystery until the 7th angel comes. If you read the Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, that's exactly what God is revealing. And also after the 7 seals, 7 vase and the 7 churches is the time of the unification and the realization of what God is and His mystery will be finished to humanity. Therefore, no one, not a single soul on earth, has the whole truth and know the mystery of God until that seventh revelation comes to humanity. And now this seventh revelation is on earth. Now you might read this revelation, read our scripture, the holiest of the holiest, though the last testament, and see what the mystery is, and you will see the whole picture, and you say, if you have been called for this mission, you will say, yes, that makes sense, and you will be one. So, you have come to a room of the if you really study what we offer and what is in our website and on the scripture, you will see the God in a new way and a new light, and it is a new wine. You have to put it in a new skin. You have to empty your cup in order for this to fill in your cup, and you could see, yes, that makes sense more than any other religions or philosophy or the thing that you know. Basically, the eternal divine path consists of five steps. The first step is awakening your spiritual forces. That means meditate, concentrate, be still, and know that I am God. That is exactly what God says. You know, awaken your spiritual forces. How can you see God? The only way you can see it when your mind is still. When your mind is not still and full of, you know, desires, attachments, and wants, and is turbulent, it's just like a lake, it's a turbulent lake. Can you see the reflection of the moon? You can't. It breaks up to thousands and millions of pieces. But if you calm the lake and make it completely still, suddenly you see the reflection of the moon or divine in the lake, and you say, yes, that is what they were talking about. That's what God is. I'm not here to explain God to you. I can tell you how you can realize God, how you can see God, how you can go to God. But you are the person who has to walk the path to go there. Therefore, the first step in the eternal divine path is the meditation, concentration, prayer, and any technique that can help you to still the mind and see the reflection of God within you. And that covers all the mystical paths on earth. There are many, many mystical paths that they basically teach, know thyself to know God. Be still and know that I am God, that you are God, God is within you. And these, of course, covers Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, mystical Christianity, just like saints in the Christians, that they realize Christ, and they die in Christ, and they progress. Sufism in Islam, and many other paths that teach the same thing. So the first step, you see, it covers all mystical paths. It unifies Hinduism, Buddhism, you know, Kabbalah, mystical path, mystical Christianity, and Sufis, and every other mystical being. The second step, many mystics says that is the end of the path. You meditate, you realize God, you drop like a drop of the water into the ocean, and you become the ocean, and you become one with God, and that's the goal of the life. You don't have to do anything else. That is the goal. But of course, in our teaching, God reveals that's not the goal. That's not the end of it. But after you meditate and you awaken your spiritual forces, you direct this energy toward the creation of an environment that also other people can meditate and awaken their spiritual forces and reach higher consciousness. And that next step, you can find it in the Old Testament. The whole Old Testament is based on God trying to find a people, a community, 12 tribes of Israel, that who are chosen to be His children and follow His laws bring his kingdom of earth and his laws on earth and all that. So the second step in the eternal Nirvana path is to create communities of life, to create communities, tribes, the community that is based on God and it follows God's laws. God's laws are the Dharma or the innate nature of everything created. What is innate nature of this computer is to, you know, take my voice and send it to internet and come to you. If it does it, then it's doing it, it's Dharma. But if it doesn't, then it's not. If it's continue not doing it, what do you do with it? We throw it away. We say it's no good. It's not doing its karma. It will be lost. So, in the context of life, everything will be based on the innate nature of everything. And by creating such a community, of course, more people will share and help each other. Therefore, they have more time to meditate and again leverage their forces. And, of course, even help greater in the community, and the community become greater in the spirit and God. So, now how are we going to create it? So, the communities of life is the theme of the Old Testament. Therefore, in the eternal divine path, we bring the Old Testament into the eternal divine path and unify it with the mystical path. The next step now, I want to be in the communities of life, I meditate, I like to create 1 hour. The next step is without sacrifice, without not being self-centered, but realizing you should not be self-centered, but other-centered, and in the community you can, you know, bring greater, you know, energy into community and stop saying what is it in for me all the time, saying, okay, what is it in me, in the community in whole. And the sacrifice, of course, was the essence of the message of Christ. Christ went all the way to the cross for his ideal, and he overcome being self-centered, and he sacrificed himself for a great ideal. Therefore, the next step is the New Testament and the Christ's teaching. Of course, he had some prophets have more than one mission. He also released the grace. Whoever believed that Christ was the Son of God, and he came on earth to bring this message to humanity, will receive the grace that is released after he came to humanity. So, the third step in the eternal divine path is the sacrifice. That was the first step is after universal resources. The second step, creation of the communities of life. The third step is sacrificing for the communities of life. Now we sacrifice and nothing happens, you become depressed. Or we sacrifice and everything is not happening, we become a life leader, and we become egoistical and say, well, we are the people who are doing it. And the moment, of course, we create ego, ego is like an umbrella we will have over our head, and we will disconnect the shower of the grace from God, and we will be disconnected from Him. Now what? I am either going to be depressed or I'm going to become egoistical. The next step is surrender the resolve to God. That means that I do my best, I meditate, I try to awaken my spiritual forces, I join a community of life or try to start one, I sacrifice for it, but after I did all this, I surrender the resolve to God and said, okay, I did everything humanly possible in my capacity to follow the eternal divine path. I sacrifice, but this all is yours, God. I'm not going to be attached to it. Even greater than surrendering the resolve is the submission. Submission means that realizing that really God is doing it to you anyway. And who is God? God is everything. And therefore, if I let God do through me, I will not be attached to the resolve because I haven't done anything. With this realization, you completely free yourself from any attachment. And neither you will be egoistical or you will be depressed, but you continue doing and working and giving and trying to create the kinds of life and at the same time be free from attachments. And you are surrendered and submissive to God, and that is the message of the Islam. Islam means being surrendered and submissive to God. Therefore, you can see all the mystical path, Old Testament, New Testament, and Islam is being unified. Now I will do all these things and I will concentrate to help only a small part of the universe. I will only help my family or my community or my city or my state or my nation or my or the earth. And still that is very narrow. We have to expand ourselves and become universalists and realize universe is our home. God is our mother and father, and we are His children, and we will direct all these first four steps toward the creation of His kingdom and the whole universe. Therefore, we shatter every punch of the narrowness of the mind, and we become a universalist, and we can look at every person in the universe or every being in the universe as a part of God, and we will not discriminate, we will not separate ourselves and others from each other, and we will not be hateful or destructive and demonize other people, but we look at their essence, and if they are wrong, we try to correct them and bring the eternal divine path and create the comings of life for them also, so they can become a part of God's plan. So by awakening the forces, creation of comings of light, sacrifice, turning as submission and becoming universalist, you will become an elect. Okay, then, of course, the universalism, the five steps is related to the Baha'i teaching. Bab and Baha brought the idea of our religion are basically the same, and therefore it's one God, one humanity. Of course, as you see in our teaching, it doesn't say our religion is the same, but it says each religion have a message, and it goes very well with the scripture that God said there's going to be a seventh seal. Therefore, we can see our teaching is much more scriptural than any other one on earth. Therefore, after you go through the five steps, you become an elect. That's what the gods were talking about, elect all through every scripture, that there are going to be elects, and the elects are the people God loves most. And these elects are the people who follow the first five steps in the eternal divine path, and that is the sixth seal. These elects are the people that we are looking for. They are the people that they have gone through these five steps, or are open to it, and see the truth, and realize the beauty of our teaching, and they come and say, yes, that makes sense, and we are chosen for this path, and we will humbly accept and will do the will of God, and we keep gathering these people. Of course, many will be called, few will be chosen, and those few are, you know, our teaching, love the teaching, understand the teaching, and when you hear it, they say, yes, it makes sense, and they are not, you know, negative. They are not here to tell us that you are wrong or anything like that, but that it is great. So, these elect are the coming leaders of humanity, and these are the people that will come, create communities of light, have the mission, you know, get these communities going, and eventually, after many communities created, they will be connected, and we will have peace and everything that human desires to have on earth, and God's grace will be with them. That is our basic of our base of our teachings, and that is what the unification of our religion is. And now, if you have any question, go ahead and ask. But please stay on the topic of the mission of Maitreya. Go ahead, Khaled.
I just want to ask about karma. Karma is something we create by ourselves, or as they say in the Arabic and Islamic tradition, something you have to do it. You have nothing to do with it. It doesn't create it. Just God wrote down. God wrote down that you have to do such things. If you have, you must have this kind of life. Nowadays, is karma something we create by ourselves? Thanks, Lord.
Karma is the action in your lifetime, and actually in the Quran, if you remember, God says at the end time, in the everybody has their beads, like a necklace around their neck, and they will be judged according to what they have done. And therefore we can see that even Islam, it is talking about that your actions will create that necklace, and so therefore you are responsible for what you do. And you will, whenever, it is very well-known law in nature, any action have a reaction equal with your action and opposite to it. But in the law of karma is the same thing. When you and I do an action, if it's not good, if it's not divine, if it's not holy, it's not godly, it will create a bad action. If it's a good action and it is based on God's teaching and is based on the eternal divine path, you will be rewarded and you will be positively, you know, marked down as something you have done good. Of course, according to RT, that is the explanation of the mostly Hindu explanation of what karma means. But according to our teaching, karma is a process of learning. If you do something wrong, of course you will receive negative energy for it, and you have to realize why this negative energy coming to you, and meditate and realize what is done, what action is there that creates negative energy. And when you look to positive things, positive come to you, and you meditate and you learn your lesson. After you learn your lesson, of course, the karma will be taken away from you and you will no longer have that karma. And therefore, in our teaching, the explanation is it's a lesson you have to learn, and when the lesson is learned, the karma will vanish and will be not. That's how the Christ healed. He said, you know, your sins are forgiven. Karma really means sin. Sin means you do something that is not godly. And Christ said, you know, your sin is forgiven. And when he says that, that person is healed. The reason she had a problem was because that person has sin or karma, and he forgave him. Therefore, he no longer needed to be punished for it. And exactly how the explanation is here. The moment you learn the lesson, the moment you're not going to sin anymore, God says, okay, you learn your lesson, you don't need this karma anymore, and it will be taken away from you. Go ahead, Khaled.
About giving the name for a new disciple, I understood that the spiritual teacher gives every new disciple a new name. And I didn't get a new name from you, Lord. I don't know. Now there are times I still don't know, but something else about celebration of Sabbath. Mm-hmm. People who must work and who have must work after that Friday evening and Saturday morning, they broke in the law of God, or how we can understand that, especially if any new disciple who must work in Sabbath. What is your advice for that? Thank you, Lord.
Okay. About the name, no, it's not like you have to attach it, so you're not going to receive one. I'm just... Well, now, in reality, is name are going to will be given only those people who ask for initiation and will be accepted to be initiated. And those are the people, as you have done, and the people who are in the mission done, you know, they realize they have no choice. This is the mission God sent, and this is the last revelation came to humanity, and that makes a lot of sense, and they are willing to realize that there is no other path, no other way for them but this, and then they will have a covenant with the mission and me, and therefore they join the mission, they become the disciples, and then the next step, of course, is, you know, they start helping the mission, and eventually they ask for being initiated. And when they ask to be initiated, that is when they receive a new name. And I will give to anybody who asks for an initiation and is accepted to be initiated. And that at that time, you will receive a new name. About the Sabbath and your working, of course, we are very small group, a very small movement, as a small religion, and some new wine in the new skin. We are in a minority, and majority, of course, they have their own idea. The Sabbath is different than ours, and even that is not kept holy, although it is different. Therefore, we have to adjust ourselves with where we are and what we do. That is what part of our teaching is, subjective approach with objective adjustment. That means we strive to go toward the goal that we have set up for ourselves, but we adjust ourselves to the situation we are. At the same time, we work toward creation an environment that is best and is closest to the mission teaching. Therefore, if you're working in Friday night and Saturdays, that's fine, but try little by little change your situation, change the schedule, or change your timing of your work in a way that you can keep the Sabbath holy and in whole, means Friday and Saturday all day from 6 o'clock in, or sunset in Friday to sunset in Saturday, as the holy day of God, the seventh day that God stopped working and told keep it Sabbath forever, never change his mind. So just be flexible, but work toward the fulfillment of what you have realized in the mission. Go ahead, Darren Brad. Baron, you were very low, and your voice very low, but I hope, if the question is not what I understood, you can come in and repeat it. You just said a mantra or a power word, and you are asking, what do I think about it? Is that the question?
The question is,
okay. Yeah, well, it sounds like it's a very powerful mantra, and of course, you know, all those mantras come from the higher consciousness and greater truth, and all of them have crazy energy that will affect your consciousness and your chakras, and but at the same time, a lot of these mantras are given to a specific religion and teachings and the prophets and teachers, and therefore they carry the energy of that teacher or that religion or the people who realize that and do that mantra. And that is why now we have a universal mantra, which is Hari Om Shri Hung Om Nam Kevalam. Hari Om Shri Hung means the goal of the life is to become divine. Om Nam Kevalam means that divinity, God is everything. And therefore, this mantra is the most universal mantra which has come from a universal teaching which covers all religions of the world, unifies them, and brings them all together. And therefore, it's not Jewish or Christian or Hindu or Buddhist or any specific, you know, mantra. Actually, you know, we can see the power words even in Islam. It mostly come from Hebrew and the old name in the, you know, in that used by Hebrew, you know, communities. And so they have a more universal approach because it covers at least 4 religions on earth, and they have followed the same kind of the energy and vibration. But still, it doesn't go far enough to cover also the mystical path and the 6th seal and the 7th seal. So it is a good thing, it is beautiful, it's very powerful words, and you can use them. But if you want to be really become universal and go beyond just, you know, one religion or, you know, a group of religion, but the whole 7th seal, I recommend, you know, you try the universal mantra and see, you know, how that affects you. To see if that is gonna also affect you in a way that you start opening up even in a mystical path and other teachings, and go beyond just becoming a, being a Jew or a Christian or a Muslim or a Hindu. You know, I was born in a Muslim, you know, tradition, but I do no longer, you know, consider myself a Muslim, but I'm a universal person that loves all religions, all people, all humanity, and actually, I believe those who follow eternal divine path are, you know, the best Muslim, the best Hindu, the best Buddhist, the best Jews, the best Christians, and whoever you want to call them, they are, you know, will follow the exact, you know, religions of God. So I recommend you use the universal mantra and see how you can compare that with the mantra that you just told us. And that is beautiful, you know, they're okay. But remember, this is the time to go beyond one religion. Go ahead, Mark.
I'd like to know when and how you first came to the realization that you were a Maitreya, and if you could give some explanation of what the term Maitreya means, and are you Maitreya, or is Maitreya something higher than you, like some kind of oversoul, etc.? And one other thing, I've not heard you mention anything about Buddhism as yet, about this world being a world of illusion of Maya. Can you comment on those two things?
Okay, I think there was four questions. Let's go one by one. What's the first one?
When or how did you realize you were Maitreya?
Okay, the first question was, how did I realize, when or how I realized I am Maitreya? Of course, I was born as a regular person. It's never, you know, it's definitely different by God, with God. It, all the people who bring a revelation or a message to humanity, they, you know, are born from a woman, and they will grow up as a regular person, and eventually, in a, when they ripe or ripen and come to a special age or stage, they realize that they have a mission and a message for humanity. So I raised and as a regular person, of course, you can say I was a little more meditative than the regular children around me, and many things, of course, happened until I came to the United States and for my education. And here I eventually connected to a group called Ananda Marga and started meditating. And after I started meditating for a while, I realized a lot of wonderful things. Actually, after 6 months of meditation, I started talking about the thing that people who have been meditating for 20 years were amazed of the depth of it, and they start, you know, being ready to cry. That how do I know the things I know? So it was a kind of a accelerated process. Or you can see that you have been meditating for many lifetimes, and then you come to this lifetime. It's much easier and simpler and faster to realize things that is hard for some people to realize. And of course, after a while, I was working for my education, and at the same time meditating and being on the Marga, I received the name, eventually, the name Maitreya, and also the name Vijay Kumar, which, you know, is another of my name. And when I received the name of Maitreya, of course, I started reading about other religions and all that. It's a long, long story. We had one whole week in one time, that is what all we talked about, how I became Maitreya. And eventually one of the people in the mission put it together on how I became Maitreya in much more detail, how it happened. It's a very long, long story. But eventually I reached a point that I realized I had no choice but to start this mission. And at that time, of course, I was not American citizen or even resident. At the same time I was trying to start this mission. So it was a pretty interesting period of time, and I only had 10 cents in my pocket to start the mission and spread this message to humanity. I recommend that you go to the website, and I think somebody, Ananda Ma, put the URL for that lecture, which is www.maitreya.org/other.htm/became, you know, m.stm. So if you click on that, probably that takes you right into that lecture, and you can read all about how I became Maitreya.
Question. Well, he said, like, what does Maitreya mean? And also, he said,
okay,
someone else is Maitreya over
Shattered. Yeah, the question is what Maitreya means. Maitreya means compassionate, and compassionate means the person who loves with the ability to correct others in their path, not completely love without, you know, unconditional love that it has, you know, you do not want to correct people, but you just love them. But compassionate have a greater meaning, mean love with ability to, you know, help and guide other people in the path. And of course, Maitreya also means friend, and it come from Mita or Mati or something like that from the other religion and Chinese language, and which, you know, there is one story we really have evolved from the Mithra in Zoroastrian teachings of Mithra, which is expected by Zoroastrians. So it has a lot of implication and meaning and all that. So I recommend you read in that book again about the Maitreya and all that. And am I overshadowed with the greater beings? We don't believe in any greater beings than God, and God is the spirit of everything, and all the prophets and the people who have come to humanity, they are connected to that spirit, to that energy, and anything between you and God should be ignored. You should go to God directly, and that is who I believe that come through me when I get satsang, and that is the being that come through all the prophets and messengers of God to this point, and there is no nothing be between me and God, and there should not anything be between you and God. You have to go right directly to the source, and if a teacher, a teaching, a guru, or anybody will become an obstacle in your path to come to God directly, and they're connecting you to themselves, those are the false teachers, run away very fast. That's the third question.
How did Buddhism fit in? About the real Maya and Buddhism.
Okay, the Buddhism, how the Buddhism fall into our teaching. Of course, Maitreya is being actually prophesied by Buddha to come. 2,500 years after his dispensation will be reaching a point that no longer reflects his teachings. And that is exactly, we know that this is 2,500 years after Buddha, and Maitreya is supposed to come and purify the Buddhist teaching. Okay, we do not believe that this world is illusion. We believe it is a relative truth. It is not the ultimate. It is not the essence. Therefore, it is here for a purpose for us to learn our lesson and go back to the essence, which is pure consciousness. And therefore, the purest form of Buddha's teaching is not this world, is not this illusion, but use this world to progress, to learn, and go eventually and reach the goal, which you call nirvana, you call pure consciousness. Other people call something else, doesn't make any difference what you call it. The goal is the same, is to learn a lesson, to overcome the karma, and eventually reach pure consciousness and return to where we have come from, and bring the universe, the balance and equilibrium that it used to be in before this creation, suffering and destruction. So we can see our teaching in that essence is very similar to the Buddha. Buddha also talked about Sangha and Dharma, Sangha means community, Dharma means the innate nature of everything. Therefore, we also teach the same thing. We work in the towards the creation of the communities of light, Sangha, which is based on the eternal divine path and the innate nature of each person in the community, which is Dharma, and therefore you can see that Buddhism also is included in this teaching, and also of course Hinduism also, because Hinduism is a mystical path. I hope it answers your questions. Is that it? Okay. Go ahead, Khaled.
Thank you, Lord. About destroying of Great Babylon in the book of Revelation of Sanjo, he was talking about destroying of Great Babylon. And as some people understood, and I am one from those people, the Great Babylon, the big Greek religious institution who made bad things in the name of God. And St. John was talking about this great city Babylon, he was destroyed by God through the great leaders of the world. And actually what happened in the last 2 months, sure enough, some things like that could be really happened. Because we see, for example, what happened yesterday or the day before in Pakistan, that are going to close all religious schools, was mainly to practice religious fanatic sense. And now we see everywhere around the world in some kind of price war against religious fanatism. Is that some kind of understanding correct? There's the Great Babylon, what St. John talked about was the great religious institution who is misusing the name of God, or did you have other explanation for that? Thank you, Lord.
Okay, in order to understand what the Great Babylon is, let's go to the origin of it. How did the Great Babylon was started, and why it's called the Tower of Babylon? We can see Nimrod reaches the point that he claimed that he's God. And of course, they tell him, you know, well, there's another God in the heaven that he claims he's God. And Nimrod says, okay, well, then let's create a tower that goes all the way to the top and kill the one in the sky in the heaven, and then I'm the only one left, so I will be God. Now we can see the same thing happening in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? You know, God told Adam and Eve not to do a couple of things. He said, you know, don't do this, then you're going to be in heaven, you will receive my grace, and you're going to be in the Garden of Eden. And then they said, and the serpent came and said, no, you don't need, you know, to listen to God. You are God yourself. You eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you are God, and you don't need God. Is there any similarity between what the Nimrod was trying to do and what Adam and Eve was trying to do? Both were trying to become God themselves. They were replacing God with their own ideas and with their own understanding, and saying that we don't need God, but we are God. Therefore, the conclusion is what? Whatever on earth, whoever in earth is trying to become God and replace God himself, that is the Tower of Babylon, and that person is acting like Nimrod and acting like Adam and Eve. They want to replace God by their own ideas and themselves. Now, who does it cover? It covers almost 99.99% of humanity. They have their own ideas, they have their own teaching, they have their own understanding, and they say, no, we know better than God what is good and evil, and therefore they become a Babel, you know, like a Nimrod Babel, like Adam and Eve Babel, like that all institutions and religions Babel. Just go. Well, how many room is in Palta? You know, go to any of them. People are babbling and attacking each other. And some say there is no God, you know, at all. You know, and other persons say, no, my God is God, your God is not God. You know, there is God, and the other one says, no, this God is God, your God is no good. And they, of course, kill each other, destroy each other, they create wars and destruction. Why? Because each of them wants to be what? God. They want to replace God by their own power, by their own understanding, by their own religion, by their own, you know, sect and all that. So we can see that Tower of Babylon is, or the babbling is going on earth everywhere, in every institution, in every country, in every nation, in every government, in every religion. Now who is not babbling? We are the only people who are not babbling. We are saying, here is the truth. God said all you got, you know, religion are a part of God. You have to go to God. You even don't, shouldn't have a, you know, mediator between you and God. I'm here to tell you, just forget about all the mullahs and rabbis and gurus and fathers and mothers. Go to God directly. You know, every prophet said, you can go to God directly. You don't need these people. If these people connect you to the mission, if these people connect you to God, great. You know, that's great. But if they are not connecting to God, or they are connecting you to themselves, they are false prophets. They are babbling. So you can see, the Tower of Babylon is amazingly covers almost every human on earth. Only the people who is not covered are those that understand the eternal divine path, understand our teaching, create comes of light, meditate, realize God, and go back to it. Go ahead, Mark.
Namaste. I realize I must read the website to maybe get some of the answers to some of my questions, but coming directly from you, obviously, it's going to be better. You talked not long ago about the mystical paths of various religions. I was just wondering whether you teach a literalist stance on the various sacred scripts, or do you teach that they are more of an allegory, such as the Garden of Eden? Do you teach that there's a literal fall of Adam and Eve, or do you think it's more of an allegory?
Yeah, well, actually, if you read our teaching, it is explained. It is an allegory. It is a symbolic teaching. Adam and Eve are a representation of the higher and lower nature of man. Adam was, of course, Adam also is referring to the first man. But in truth, is the reference to the higher nature of this Adam, and Eve is the lower nature. Of man, and lower nature tempts the higher nature that don't listen to God. You are God yourself. You know, you should not. You should just if you believe what is good and evil, and you can know it, what is good and evil for you. You are God yourself, and you don't have to listen to Him, and you are going to be fine. Okay, and that is in the grace, of course, we've taken away when you, because you create ego. That is the only thing, the only problem on earth is ego. That's it. It's that simple. If everybody overcome their ego and let the grace and the spirit come through, we won't have any problem. We will see the beauty and the essence of the Creator, of consciousness in every human and every being, and we say, yeah, I love that part of everybody, because that is exactly what I have within myself, and it's the same as I am. Therefore, I cannot hate anyone, I cannot destroy anyone, I cannot even kill anyone, because I'm killing their, you know, essence of God, and I'm not letting them, you know, progress to their higher nature and all that. So, most of the scriptures are symbolic. Actually, if everybody could know what it means, we didn't need the seven angels to come and explain it to us and open the mystery to humanity. So, now if the meaning, if you read though our teaching, you will see the meaning of the Garden of Eden. It has nothing to do with the physical woman and the physical man. It has something to do with the nature of humanity. and many, many things symbolically is explained in Do, which opens your mind to a greater understanding of religion and God. Go ahead, Hans.
I have a question on Archangel Michael. I'm a little bit confused about what happened. I came across a site that says that Archangel Michael was enthroned on April 19, 1995.
What?
And I was wondering also what Archangel Michael's relation is to you. Could you please explain? Thank you very much.
Well, if you believe everything you read in internet, then you're going to be confused for sure. Was he enthroned in that time? Well, I don't know. Probably you should go back to that website to see why they are saying that. To us, Archangel is one of the elements in the universe. There are three elements in the universe. There are Sattva, which is the Gabriel, and the Tama, which is Lucifer, Raja, which is Archangel Michael, and they are not really beings, but are the elements in the universe. They are symbolized as angels, and that is what a lot of people believe in angels, and they become completely confused because each angel is different looking and different kind of a shape and different thing they say, just like the people who channel different beings. After all, everybody who channel different being differently, and that the same being says a different thing into different people, and that is then the confusion, and that is the part of the Babylon. The people babble and they bring confusion instead of clarification. Therefore, let's not be attached to any manifestation. If it is manifestation, it is not ultimate. The ultimate has no manifestation. It's pure consciousness. It's pure creative force of God. And therefore, everything between this and that purity, even beings in the ethereal level, are not the ultimate. Therefore, don't be attached to them. Therefore, the three angels, Gabriel, Lucifer, and Michael, are the three creative forces in the universe and cannot be throned. They cannot be put on the throne. The only being who is enthroned is God, and that is consciousness and the creative forces. Therefore, I conclude that website is incorrect, so you can completely come out of it and not to be confused because of Michael. Michael is not a being, it is a force, and therefore it cannot be thrown. Go ahead, Mark.
There are many so-called masters or avatars claiming to be avatars around the world, such as Satya, Sai Baba, and Adigala. I'm just wondering what your stance is on these other so-called masters claiming to be the like
the cosmic Christ, etc., regarding Satya Sai Baba, and whether you are an avatar yourself, and what you consider the term avatar to mean.
Sorry, so many questions.
Okay, well, the powers that given to humanity and the opening of the mystical centers is birthright to every human. Everybody has some powers and some spiritual gifts that are given to them. And they might use that as being superior or being different or being something special. And because a lot of people haven't all of them themselves, and a lot of people have not awakened those powers, they will accept such a power as from God and will become their followers, and they become the guru, the teacher, their avatars, you know, the father, their mullah, the rabbi, and all that. And they can understand or see if these teachers are the true teachers. Do they take you to God, or they connect them, you to themselves? And if they take you to God, then you are free to go to God, and you're not attached to them. Of course, you respect them, you love them, you know, accept them as a teacher that God sent to you to guide you to Him. But if they attach you to themselves and claim to be God, then you have to run as fast as possible, because God never ever manifested Himself completely all the time on earth, ever. Even the greater prophets who come to to you, they are connected only at the times they talk about God, and they are the mouthpiece of God. And therefore, you know, nobody can claim they are God, and if they do, they are in the way, in your way, to the ultimate, which is the pure consciousness, and therefore do not accept such a person as a spiritual teacher. And they have to connect you to the formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. Why? Formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. And of course, if you accept them as a prophet and a messenger of God, then you have to have more stringent measure to realize and recognize if they are or not. The first question you have to ask them to say, where in the scriptures prophesied that you will come, and with your name and with the station you claim. If the prophecy have told that they will come, and the prophecies have been fulfilled through that person, then you have to see, do they teach according to the scripture? If they teach something that is not godly and not according to God's word, still they are false teachers and they are in your way. So you be very, very careful, you know, who you accept as the prophet from God or the spiritual teacher, and be very stringent in your measure to accepting them, you know, as such. The goal of the life is to become divine. Therefore, you have to be very careful who shows you how to become divine. And of course, in our teaching, whoever follows the eternal divine path will become divine, because that is the path of divinity. Therefore, coming of a prophet or coming of a messenger, it is not an event that happens often. We have been having avatars and gurus and the people who claim to be, you know, God themselves, all through history, in every age, in every generation. But coming of a prophet, a messenger, does not happen every day. In centuries goes by that a prophet, even actually there was 600 years before Prophet Muhammad comes after, you know, Christ comes hundreds of years after, you know, Moses and Abraham and Adam and all that. And it took 1,200 years before, you know, Bab and Baha'u'llah came after Muhammad, and of course it's been accelerated at this end time. So we have to realize who we are talking about. Are we talking about spiritual teachers? Are we talking about the prophets and the messengers? If we're talking about the spiritual teachers, they have to connect you to God. If they don't, they are false prophets. No matter how much miracle they do not fall for it. You know, making miracles is your birthright to do it yourself, and you can do it. As Christ said, if you have the slightest faith, if you tell this mountain to go to yonder, it will. Therefore, you can do it. You don't need to fall for, you know, miracles and all that. And be very, very careful and understanding who is the true teacher, who he connects with God, and who is the prophet or messenger of God, he who has fulfilled the prophecies and teach the word of God. Go ahead, Mark.
Omnipresent, and that we are all God. Could you explain what's in your teachings, how you explain the reason for evil in the world. If nothing exists but God, I mean, even in the Bible it says that according to scripture, God said that he created evil. So why would a loving God create evil?
Yeah, well, we could not understand the beginning of your sentence. It sounds like you are saying that we are all gods. If that was the beginning of your sentence, yes, we are all gods with a small g, and that it only happens when we manifest God quality. Not everybody is God. If they do not manifest God's quality, they are disconnected from their God's energy, and therefore they are not called God, but they have the potential of becoming God in His image and manifest His quality. Therefore, only those who manifest God's quality are gods with the small g, or what Bible called the sons of God. Of course, Christ Himself also said, "Thou art gods." So, we do not disagree that we have the potential of become God, but we never can become the Creator. There is only one Creator and one God with the big G. We haven't created the universe. He created the universe, and He is everything and everywhere. Now the next question, you are saying, what about evil or devil? Why evil is in the world and God created evil? Yes, that is true, because when creation went out of the balance, so when the creation went out of balance, the ego is involved, and ego is the essence of all evil. And evil is the separation or illusion of separation from God, and that illusion brings self-centeredness, and self-centeredness brings attraction to the external world, and attraction to external world become greater self-centeredness and greater delusion, and after a while we become evil because we take the external world as the only truth, and we start separating ourselves from one another and doing things to each other that are evil and are not godly. Therefore, we can see evil is woven or is a part of the creation, and it will be with the human as well as they are in the lower nature, and they have the separation, the illusion of the separation from God. It's not a being that goes around and tempt people and have two horns and all that they have symbolized in many religions as such, as also they have symbolized the Gabriel and Michael and Lucifer as beings. They are not beings. No, actually Lucifer is the symbol of Tamaguna, or the crucifying force. That's exactly what makes the ego separates man from man, because we become crude, we become separated, we become more flesh, and the more flesh you become, the more separate from God you will become, and the more you become separate from God, the more evil will become. Therefore, the explanation is yes, it is created by God, because God created everything, and since God created everything, it is an essence, it's just like essence of man, it is interwoven with human with life, and it's our lower nature, it's our ego, it is illusion of the separation from God, it is Maya, it is attraction to the external world, it's temptation, it is whatever makes us not realize we are one with God. Go ahead, Hans.
Thank you very much for answering my other question. You mentioned Lucifer, and my question is, I have read many of the books by David Steinberg, and I was wondering if you agreed with him that Lucifer will be is an angel of man's evolution. I think you sort of touched on it just now, but in a little different way. And that Lucifer is important to the kingdom. I was wondering if you could explain how Lucifer does fit in regards to your teachings. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, actually, if you know, Lucifer means shining a star. It becomes a guiding light. If you realize that this light is, you know, this external world, the attraction and attachment to it, and is an illusion, and that the ego is the illusion of separation from God, and Maya is illusion of the separation from God, then you can know what Lucifer is, and when you know what Lucifer is, you will avoid the Lucifer to destroy you and take you away from your spiritual life, and therefore the very Lucifer itself becomes a guiding light in your path, and you see the emptiness of the external world and what it offers you, and therefore the very external world becomes a guiding light for you, and you can continue your path toward become pure consciousness by avoiding the pitfalls of the external world and the offer of the Maya, and therefore you will evolve in a greater degree if you become a realized person and see the external world not an illusion, but as a relative truth. It is not as an ultimate truth, and therefore, if you are a seeker, you don't want a, you know, relative truth. You want an ultimate truth. You want the essence. You want to become essence. You want to go toward the essence, and therefore, you want to avoid that pitfalls in the external world, and you can do that much easier in the eternal divine path. You can do it much easier in the community of light, because in the community there are a lot of like-minded like you, which meditate and awaken your forces. They talk to you, they give satsang, they talk about God and help you in a greater degree in your path, and it accelerates your way to the pure consciousness. Therefore, we can see that, again, eternal divine path is the salvation for humanity to overcome the Lucifer or ego and shatter all the knowledge of the mind and eventually go back. Actually, we are in a very interesting junction of human evolution. Either we can destroy ourselves with the weapons we have, or we can realize that God is one. These are revelations have come from Him. Our religions are, you know, from one source, and we can unify them now, and then, you know, even evolve in a greater degree and create an earth that is really a heaven on earth. So we can see we are in an evolution junction, and knowing Lucifer is greatly helpful in our path. Go ahead, Mark.
I have a couple of questions again. All religions prophesy about the coming of a new Messiah. Buddhism prophesies about Maitreya. Christianity prophesies about the second coming of Christ. Hindu about the coming again of Pali, and Muslim religion talks about the coming of another prophet. Now, how do you relate to this? Because you take the name Maitreya, so I thought the name Maitreya was basically a Buddhist term, but do you claim that you are the coming like Christ or Messiah of all the different religions?
Yes, Mark, that's it. You are connected to that prophecy. This is the fulfillment of all those expectations. I was born by the name of Muhammad, which is the expectation by Muslim to come from Islamic, you know, tradition. I was given the name Maitreya, which means, you know, it comes from the Buddhist background and religion. And actually, I didn't like the name Maitreya because when they gave it to me, they said it means compassionate. And there was other people who have the name Ishvara, the control of the universe, you know, the statue of place of Krishna or this and that. And I wanted a name that has a better, you know, more powerful meaning. So I asked for another name from another teacher, and he gave me the name Vijay Kumar, which means the young prince, which is the expectation of coming of the Kalki Yoga, according to the Hindus' expectation. And of course, later on somebody gave me the name Emmanuel, which is also expectation of the Christian to come. And none of his name I gave to myself, they gave it to me, and that fulfills all those expectations from our religion, and also it unifies our teaching and opens the book sealed with the seven seal in the revelation and fulfills of all the prophecies, and therefore it leaves no doubt of my claim is legitimate, and this teaching is from the highest source, and the only place in the scripture that the whole universe rejoices is the when the book sealed with the seven seal is open, and now it is open, it is called the holiest of the holies, though in the last testament this teaches the eternal divine path, and therefore you can see it's amazing thing happening here on earth now, and we are calling on elect, those who see this truth, and they say, yes, this makes sense, it is the fulfillment of the prophecies, and therefore it unifies all religions, and every religion and their expectation has been fulfilled. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, it seems that I'm asking all the questions today. let's concentrate on the Christian prophecies then. What is your teaching regarding the so-called Antichrist?
Okay, Antichrist is whatever is in the press. We said the Antichrist is not accepting Christ and also not bringing God to our life and the teaching of God and the scripture which have come to humanity and fall into Maya and illusion of the separation from God and become lost. And if you look at the word Antichrist, the only time it's been used, it is in the New Testament, and also it is mostly in Paul's teachings, and we can find it nowhere in the Bible that talks about the Antichrist. And even then, Antichrist said, even now, he is here with us. So it means it's not something that's going to come. It has been with them. It was on the earth even then. He was here even before, you know, Paul and Christ. Therefore, Antichrist is anything which is not godly. And therefore, we have to avoid Antichrist and realize him. Of course, it symbolizes also a lot of people, you know. Those people who are not following God's way and God's will and God's teaching and scripture, they are Antichrist. Therefore, you can see we have many, many Antichrists on earth, and it is not a one being, and Antichrist actually become very much more powerful and more effective since worldwide second after the year 1940s, we see the Maya or illusion of separation from God becoming much stronger, and human right now, from the religious of the point of the view, many people have completely lost their religion, and they say we are Muslim, we are Hindu, we are Buddhist, you know, we are this and that, but in reality, if you really go and look in their life, they don't follow their religion, they don't follow their ritual, they don't follow their prophet, you know, they follow, you know, a very, you know, biased life, and therefore we can see Antichrist has been much stronger on earth since 1940s, and now is the time to bound him, to stop him, and create an environment that Antichrist is no more or as little as possible. Therefore, that prophecy that Antichrist will come on earth is already fulfilled, and we can see that the ungodly thing on earth, you know, is much stronger than ever before. That is why we can read in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says, whenever the morality of humanity goes down and then the destruction of immorality comes, my spirit will rise on earth and bring humanity back to me. And of course, this is also end of the Kali Yoga, and said the 12,000, last 12,000 years is in the Kali period. We are approaching the Golden Age. The Golden Age will be based on the truth of God and not symbol that many people take it as a person or as a being, as a reality, because their eyes so worldly, they see everything worldly and manifested. Well, they are allegory and symbolic, and that is what Antichrist also means. Antichrist means anti, against Christ. Christ is who? Christ is the consciousness of God on earth. He is the anointed one to bring the God spirit to humanity. And anybody who do not accept that anointed one, that who do not listen to the word of that anointed one, is Antichrist. Go ahead, Hans.
About our space brothers, extraterrestrials, and I've read in some, maybe it was David Spangler again, but I think he said something about fundamentalist Christians and those who are not true believers, that they will be removed to another dimension so that the kingdom will come on the earth. They will be taken out of the way by possibly our space brothers or something like that. I was wondering what your teaching is on that subject.
Okay, my teaching is read the Word of God, the Bible, the Quran, the Scripture. Those are what God said is going to happen. You know, anybody else who comes and teach anything which is not in the Scripture, it is their own man-made belief and is not based on the very strong base. If there is any space brothers, why should they even bother with us? We have a lot of problems ourselves right now on earth, and we haven't been able to solve them ourselves. Why do they want to bring us in their fold and create problems for themselves when we have not mature enough to take care of ourselves? The possibility, if there is a space brother or a space beings out there, is greater than we say their entity, because there are billions of stars and suns even in our own galaxy, but there are thousands and hundreds and thousands and millions of galaxies all over the universe. If we believe we are the only, life form in this vast universe, we are pretty big ego that we think like that, okay? So the possibility is great that there are other beings. Will they come and help us to go higher consciousness? It is not a scriptural. I do not go with anything which is not from God and a scripture, and therefore I will not accept that unless somebody show me, yes, this thing is happening, and that is the way it's going to be. So I would not believe in those things at all, and I do not recommend, wasting time for the things is not godly. And God already said how he is going to do it. He said, there's going to be a seventh angel, it's going to be a book opened with the seventh seal. The show of the coming, bringing of the kingdom is already being given in our teaching. We have a system, we have shown how to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. The only thing really left is for humanity, for the elect come together and create the kingdom of heaven on earth, and that is the way it will be. Go ahead, Mark.
Hello, yeah. Before I ask the next question, I just wanted to thank you for being here and for answering the questions. And my beliefs are extremely close to from what I've seen from today's satsang, from what you teach as well. Could you tell me, do you claim any kind of supernatural abilities, as in being able to project into the higher realms, such as the Buddhic or the Adi realms?
If even I can, it did not help you in your spiritual progress. It really doesn't make any difference to anybody if somebody else can do it. And that is not the goal of life. The goal of life is to become divine, and the path to divinity is eternal divine path, and following eternal divine path. The ability to go to the other dimensions is again our birthright, is given to us to go to other dimensions and do the experiences that many people have had. And many people have gone to those dimensions by using drugs and LSD and all that. What happened in all of it? Have they, any of them, you know, created great new revelation or religion or you know, realization to humanity? Have they solved the human problems on earth? You know, we can see that going to those realms is not the goal. You know, it doesn't make any difference even if I can go there or not to you. The most important thing to us is, what did God say about these matters? What is His will? And how we can solve the problem on earth that we so badly need to solve them. And if we don't solve them, of course, we will have great wars and destruction coming to us. And the sooner we all get together and solve the problem is much better than try to go to the other realm and coming back here and still we see, the problem is still here. They didn't go anywhere, you know. So God has brought this revelation to show the creation of the communities of light based on the eternal divine path, and the kingdom of heaven on earth is based on the communities of light. So therefore, creation of the communities of light is the most urgent task of humanity, and we should concentrate on that urgent task instead of, you know, being lost in the thinking of, you know, who goes to what real and who doesn't, and therefore, and even if I do, it doesn't help you, if that is the point, you know, or if there isn't a space brother, you know, what, are we going to sit here and wait for them to come and rescue us, or we mature and grow up and say, we're going to rescue ourselves. If there's a space brothers, then we are going to be in the equal footing, and we say, okay, brothers, come together, let's create a better universe. You know, the whole thing is bring you down to earth. Come down to earth here and now and see what is the best for humanity. Those things later on will come to everyone, and everybody will realize and recognize them and will go. Actually, human used to be in a spiritual realm more than physical body before the flood of Noah. They had the ability to extract life from the universe and rejuvenate the body. That's why they lived for what? 600 years, 700 years, 1,000 years, and then just misused those powers. Eternal divine path. The whole reason we don't have those powers because we misuse them. And because we misuse them, God closed our third eye and gave us the two eyes. The only thing we see is the external world, and we say, oh, look, I can see the external, that is the only reality I understand. And then after you progress and you reach a point that you are ready, God says, okay, I open your third eye now. You can see more a little bit, and more and more. And if we open our eyes or be able to go to the other realm and see the spiritual thing, and then we will misuse them because this is not the ego. That was the whole reason the flood of Noah happened. That's why he created a new man. If so, you will understand more what I'm talking about here. And therefore we now see external world as the only reality. Actually, a spiritual world is more real than this external world, but because human doesn't have the access to that realm, they get attached to anything physical. You know, even a spiritual world is even more real than the space brothers, and they help you more even than, you know, believing that a space being will come and help you. Therefore, we have to progress ourselves, we have to create the communities of light, we have to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, we have to meditate, we have to get rid of our egos, and eventually the spiritual realm will be revealed to all of us, and it become more real to us than this external world. Go ahead, Mark.
One other question, I guess, before you go, the time's running out. Do you plan to achieve any kind of cosmic consciousness? In other words, how do you know what God's will is? Are you in direct communication with God so that you know what to teach and things like that?
Yes, when I come to the satsang and sit here and talk, it is God who is talking. And me and the Father are one, and there is no other way but me. And therefore, you know, you can see that the cosmic energy is here now on earth and is the one and has come to humanity. Again, how do I know the will of God? I know by my own experience, I know by the scriptures, I know by the revelation which has come through me, I know by the prophecies which were revealed, and I know by many, many other signs as given in many ways, and also when the revelation comes, when the Holy Ghost comes, then it reveals to you, you have no doubt the truth that He reveals, and if you have the slightest interest in progress, in your consciousness, progress in your consciousness or your spiritual being, when you hear the truth, it hits you. That's why I am here to hit those who are ready for it. There are some people come here, don't even hear me, you know, and they start yelling, no, you know, you are Antichrist and this and that. They didn't hear what I said. They don't have the truth. They're full of their own, you know, ideas. Therefore, my own certainty, the scriptures, the prophecies, and the truth that has come to humanity. Go ahead, Doc. Okay, the thing is, I had a spiritual experience with an angel named Maitreya. It was during a rebirthing session. Probably it was an ethereal being, and in the ether, it's something called astral projection or astral traveling, and in ether you can create anything you think. So it is your own creation, and in the creative mind is really powerful. That's what those who do the astral projection, that's happened to everyone. Some people wake up and they cannot get up, and they feel that, you know, they have no control over the body, and the body is absolutely like a limb. You know, you can move it, you can do anything, and suddenly you come back to it and you can move the body. That is astral projection. A lot of people are not aware of it, and therefore they do not know what it is. And then she continues saying, I felt that this was important and I have honored this. Sorry about the typo. Yes, the angel was in the next dimension. I was in body. He came home. He came to me. Okay, I got the point. Thank you, Dot. Many people have had these experiences. As I said, this is made by our own mind. Actually, the people who go to the astral projection, there are some people, they love it. It's very beautiful to them. And some people go there and they become very afraid and fearful and return to body very fast. And the reason is that you take your consciousness with you into that level and you realize and project what you understand it. And that, therefore, if you have a fearful feeling and afraid, your fears will come and be exaggerated, and you can have greater fear, and therefore you will be, you know, very afraid, and you will return very fast back to your body, and your experience is not good. But astral projection and ethereal level is the fifth level in our teaching. Many people, when you reach the reach there, it is so beautiful, and they have so many experiences, and they see so many beings, that they think they have reached the end of the spiritual path. It is not. you have still two more steps to go, and that is the pure consciousness. One is with God, which even ether does not reach it, and that is the truth in the scriptures and our teaching, and they are greater. Therefore, many people, they think they know Maitreya, they have seen Maitreya, they have Maitreya have revealed, been revealed to them, but what they say is not what I say. Therefore, it is their own projection. It is not the eternal divine path. If they saw me, they will say the same thing that I say. So therefore, know my teaching and you said Maitreya. If I can prove you on eternal level, I will tell you the same thing that we are taught here in this room. You also, you have to realize that the possibility people have had experiences, revelation, they have been told to come to the mission, connect with the teachers of the mission, or be a part of the mission. That experience might have been a way to make you become attracted to the Maitreya and his movement. So that's another possibility you can explore and look into. Go ahead, Doc.
Yes, I thank you for the time. I received the Holy Spirit the night before my son passed over, and I was told that I was going to be able to help people to heal and help them heal themselves. And then this experience happened after that, like a few years, maybe 15. I had grounded before the Great Breaking experience. I know about astral travel. I did not go out of my body then. The Spirit came to me. I did not know anything about the trail before that. I did not even know the name, just so you know that. And the angel came over. I felt there was an angel, and everybody in the room knew of the experience. It was quite something that everybody was crying, and so was I. Just so to tell you that. I came here because I had heard about this room and wanted to hear you speak and to discern for myself in my heart, because this is what Holy Spirit told me, that I am to discern truth with my heart.
That is good. Great, Doc. It is an experience that it is the birth of every human to experience it. Holy Ghost come to us according to our ability and our mission. The healing power is being given to every human. If they receive the grace, they should be able to heal themselves. And actually, the mission of Maitreya doesn't heal you individually, but it has come to heal the whole earth. And this time is related to whole humanity. And we teach how you heal yourself. It's just like if you give a man a fish, he will be hungry tomorrow. But if you teach them how to heal themselves, they don't need any healer anymore, because they are healer themselves, and everybody become their own healer and heal themselves, and that is the goal. And hopefully everybody will become a healer and heal, learn how to heal themselves. Actually, we have a 7-step of prerequisition of a spiritual life that if you follow, you will learn how to heal yourself easily. But you didn't know about the name Maitreya. Maybe not in this lifetime, maybe in previous lifetimes. It is something that maybe happened in your consciousness from before, and that is why now it's been revealed to you. So it is not everything we know in this lifetime is the only thing we know. We know a lot of things. For example, you say, you know, it was in a regression session. They have hypnotized people, and they have started talking about their previous lifetime, that they have been, for example, some American woman, you know, said that she has been a German, and around 20-25 years before, and her name was this, and she said actually talking German, you know, in that state, and she had never learned German in his lifetime. She even didn't know, you know, how German words even pronounce it. So she started talking in German language, and they went, and she said that she's been killed in a fire in around 20 years ago. And they went and they saw at the paper, yes, there was such a report, such a woman with that name, and all the things that she said have happened. So there's a possibility that you might not know it in this lifetime, but probably you might have known it in the previous lifetime. Go ahead, Doc.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I do understand about hypnosis, what everybody thinks about the transpersonal hypnosis and the counselor. And I do agree with you about that. People have retrieved past life information through a regression. Everything that you've said so far, I know is true in my heart. But I want to ask you, do you feel that you are the only Maitreya that there is, or do you feel that you are a basket of Maitreya?
Are you the only Maitreya that there is, or are you a basket of heart that comes from Maitreya?
Well, as I was explaining to another person earlier here, that we have to be connected to God directly. Any other manifestation or any other things on earth which does not connect us to the formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal is not the ultimate in the manifestation, and therefore is in our way to the goal, which is fine, formless, invisible, nameless, eternal, or pure consciousness, or oneness with God. And therefore, you know, I will not be a part of anything which is not directly connected to the fine, formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. And the claim here in this mission is that we have the last revelation from God. It is the book sealed with the seven seals in the Revelation chapter 5, the opening of the seven seals, when the mystery of God will be finished, and therefore I am not a part of anything but that ultimate realization or ultimate manifestation or ultimate essence. Therefore, you can say that the claim is there is nothing like what we have here in this mission. It has not been on earth for last, at least for last 12,000 years, and now it's been reduced to humanity, and everything else is pale in comparison with the light that has come to humanity and through this mission. Therefore, I recommend everybody go to our website and look at our teaching, read the holiest of the holiest book, realize what is taught. We are trying to completely connect you to God directly, and therefore we actually recommend not to be attached to any teacher, to any level, to any alternative, to any, you know, guru, to any rabbi, mullah, or anything but the essence, the highest. I'm here to connect you to that essence. I'm not here even to connect you to myself. So therefore, you can see this is the highest spiritual realization have come to humanity, and is trying to bring the end to confusion. Anything between you and God, anything between you and that ultimate, you know, essence, will create the confusion, separation, and destruction. Therefore, do not be attached to the ethereal beings, do not be attached to the different level of consciousness, do not be attached to the, you know, space brothers, do not be attached to anything, but go to the highest, which is the teaching of the mission of Maitreya, and I even don't want you to be attached to me. Of course, I hope you respect me, and if I'm your teacher, you know, accept my words and follow them, but I don't want you make me God here, and then I become obstacle in your path to go to the pure consciousness or the ultimate essence. So we can see this in here. We're not really that much into anything but you and God. That's it. There is nothing between you and God. Anything in between, just forget it. It's not important. You can just go right to the highest thing. And where do you find how to go to God? In the scriptures, in law, by following the eternal divine path. By following the eternal divine path, you will raise your spiritual, you know, spiritual progress moving forward, and your Kundalini will rise very slowly but surely to make you to become a good person, a superior human in goodness. Okay? And that is what God is. God, He comes from good, and God is good. And whatever is good is God, and whatever is not good is not God, is evil. That is really the simple explanation of the evil and good, and God is good.